What are they? People on a diet at Thanksgiving, splitting rolls?
God damn it.
Let's go to
split,
the next.
Split a roll, my ass. I will never split a roll.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host, Walker Kelly. Walker, are you ready to solve the fumble out of the end zone debate once and for all?
Don't fumble out of the end zone, and you don't have to worry about it.
You know, that's actually a good strategy. That is, that's my strategy for people who get mad when batters pimp homers or people get brutally dunked on. Yes. And then I'm like, well, don't give up the home run. Don't get dunked on.
Exactly. 100%. If somebody's about to dunk on me, you better believe I'm getting out of the way. I am not proud.
Speaking of not proud, Walker, you ready to settle the bet? Let's just say, as of right now, Jordan Addison has more fantasy points than Calvin Ridley.
Don't pay attention to how many games respectively they played.
Let's just say that actually, shockingly, Jordan Addison is not that far ahead of Calvin Ridley either. He's only nine fantasy points ahead, but he's coming for you, Walker. Jordan Addison.
Yeah, he's definitely going to keep scoring a touchdown every week.
Watch me watch him. All right, so what we're going to do today is, first of all, welcome to the Football Absurdity Podcast. We're going to take a look at the Week 2 preview. We're also going to talk about Thursday Night Football a little bit. Walker was under the weather, so there was no starter sit podcast this week. So you can check out Walker's ranks at footballabsurdity.com and also their article, their starter sit article. And nobody wants to admit that it's a good article.
That's right. It's, I filled up that Jake Ferguson section with references.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I didn't want to keep screenshotting it, but I was like, all right, I'm just leaving it. Nobody wants to admit it. But real fantasy Twitter sicko fist pump time with that Jake Ferguson segment.
Yeah.
So let's start with Thursday Night Football that happened last night because it was Thursday night. That's how that works. Injuries in this one. Ole Udo had a season-ending quad injury, backup left tackle for the Vikings. And then Avante Maddox, cornerback for the Eagles, tore his pec, and Quez Watkins, wide receiver, had a hammy injury. And I saw somebody on Twitter be like, no, my parlay, over 13.5 points from Quez Watkins. Sorry, man, if you put Quez Watkins in a parlay, maybe you should figure out your life.
You deserve what you've gotten.
Yeah. I'm betting the over on Quez Watkins yardage. Like, oh boy, man, you have issues. All right. So Walker, you said before we start recording, you really crunched the tape on this one. You spent 4, 5, 6 hours going over this one today.
Yeah, I mean, I know all the ins and outs of this one. I can definitely tell you what happened in the game. I'm pretty sure I know who scored the touchdowns, but it could be that I'm wrong.
You know who didn't score the touchdowns was Justin Jefferson. He was very close, but he did not.
No, he still had a fantastic game, though.
Yes, he did. He's good. I don't know if people know this. And fantasy Twitter last night was finding like reasons. I like how we just have this episode, or these episodes without Mike, are just like grousing about fantasy Twitter. But fantasy Twitter last night was like I don't know if you know this, but Justin Jefferson is good. It's like, yeah, we know this. You don't need to post all these statistics.
He was the consensus 101.
Yeah, everybody's like, I saw a post that was like, Justin Jefferson is scoring like 23 fantasy points per game, and he hasn't scored a touchdown yet. Stud. It's like, yes, we know. We are aware. Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations on your 2 retweets and 17 likes.
Yeah, alrighty. So let's talk a little bit about our questions from last night's game. My question, which in retrospect, I probably should have realized this because I had DeAndre Swift as a top 24 running back going into the season. DeAndre Swift is a hashtag good. No Kenny Gainwell in this one. Barely any Rashad Penny, despite Boston Scott leaving with the concussion. But DeAndre Swift, 28 carries, 175 yards and a touchdown, 3 catches for 6 yards on 3 targets. I think I wrote about this in the absurdity check. I think the Eagles, this is what they wanted to have happen. And the whole Kenneth Gainwell week one thing was seeing what they have with Kenneth Gainwell, because let's be clear. DeAndre Swift is a better player than Kenneth Gainwell. Kenneth Gainwell had just been there longer.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. I mean, I still have questions about how actually good at football DeAndre Swift is. He's really good in space, but I mean, you can't, the box score, you know, doesn't lie in this case. He definitely played well. One of his better games of his career. The offensive line in front of him blocked really well. Minnesota's defense was pretty clearly trying not to get beat downfield, which didn't really work either. They came, considering they gave up like 40 yards a catch to Devontae Smith. But the game plan that Minnesota had defensively seemed to set up for Swift to be good, and he was. He did his job very well.
Also, the talent level of the Minnesota Vikings defense also set up well for DeAndre Swift to play well in this game.
You couldn't be more right. It's
they are bad, real. Folks. They stink. So that makes this Rashad Penny thing hurt even more. I would say he's very clearly the number four here somehow. And maybe those rumors that they were mulling over cutting Rashad Penny for Trey Sermon weren't that crazy.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what's going on there, but it seems like they don't like him.
It could be that, you know, I was trying to think about it, or I was thinking about it. I wasn't trying, but I was struggling to come up with an answer, which is Russ left Seattle and now he stinks, and Penny left Seattle and now he's struggling. I wonder if this is a situation where somehow whatever Pete Carroll does with that offense in Seattle helps maximize these players. And so when they leave, they don't have kind of like the same.
Yeah, they're on Pete EDs.
Pete erectile dysfunctions.
He probably has that at this point.
He is like 90. So him and it's so funny how he's like the same age as the president. But like Pete Carroll is one of the youngest, like almost 80-year-olds. And Joe Biden is like one of the oldest almost 80-year-olds you've ever seen.
It's true. I love to have an octogenarian president.
Tells you what good living will do for you. Good living involves cheating at USC and then leaving immediately when you're found out. All right. So elsewhere on the Eagles, Jalen Hurts got his tush push rushing touchdown. He got two of them, actually. Two tush push rushing touchdowns. 193-1 in a pick. He did Jalen Hurts things. AJ Brown got 4 for 29. He's going to have a squeaky wheel game next week. Dallas Goedert, 6 for 22. He might be slipping back into the blob. Because through two games, it's like he has like 40 air yards on 7 targets.
I don't know what's going on here. It seems like they're using him in an entirely different way than they used him last year, which doesn't make much sense to me. But yeah, it's been all like underneath dump offs.
Yeah, it's been very bizarre. And that was one thing I was actually going to look up his actual ADOT, because it can't be very high right now. But I was waiting for the games to go, the statistics to go through.
His ADOT, I'm going to guess 2.3.
All right, let me find it. And then I'm going to advance 2023. Let's see. His ADOT is, all right, I'm gonna put it at 5 yards over or under. What did you say?
Under, definitely.
What'd you say it was?
2.3.
Ooh, Walker, bad news. It is 6.3.
Hmm.
Because his ADOT in this one, according to PFR, was 5, and then his one target last week was 15. Oh. That's used things. Yeah. So not great. Not great for a guy who was known for like going down the seam and being this, this good receiver, not just a guy who's just getting a ton of volume like a Tyler Higbee type guy. He was like known for it. Like his career ADOT is 7.2, and that's pretty good for a tight end. And now it's down to 5. And honestly, I think it's probably being buoyed by like two or three targets because most of his targets were dump offs. I mean, 6 for 22. That's bad.
That's not good.
So I'm still starting him. I mean, because he's slipping into the blob, which means you're still starting him. Slipping into the blob and worrying about him means he's still like tight end 8 every week.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Unfortunately, the case.
Yeah, there's not much you can do about it. So, especially because one of the guys that broke out last week is going to have a bad matchup this week. So, like, if you thought like, oh, I can maybe do a Hayden Hurst thing, like, well, Hayden Hurst might not be so good going forward. Just a thought. All right, on the other side of the ball, my question was, let's see here, can Minnesota run the ball at all? And LMAO, no. 9 carries for 28 yards as a team. Alexander Mattison, he stinks, folks. He's real bad.
He's not good.
Now I know people would be like, well, you can't just isolate the running back. Okay, Vikings offensive line also bad. Philly run defense very good. Tampa Bay run defense that he played last week very good. Outside of all of that, Alexander Mattison still not good. He's slightly below league average, and he got buoyed by playing a bunch of bad run defenses when Dalvin Cook was injured. And now we see like the real Alexander Mattison. Now, I don't think this is as bad as it's going to get. I got a question on Twitter from AK Magic about like, should he sell Mattison? Like, he's probably selling as low as he's going to be right now, playing two of the better run defenses in the NFL back to back. Like, you know, you want to play him coming off of some sort of high. Like, he plays the Chargers next week.
Right.
So I think he'll be a startable player next week, but it's just like, oof, these first two games are bad. We already talked about Jordan Addison, also Justin Jefferson. He's good. TJ Hockenson, is he a top three tight end rest of season? And it's not particularly close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's number three.
Yeah, he's a top three tight end so far because the two guys ahead of him haven't played. So he's top three and he's not two or three.
Yeah, he's right now he's number one, but no, he's tight end three until further notice.
Yeah, and sorry, friend of the show Frank Amarante, nobody was fading T.J. Hockenson. It was consensus top five.
Yep.
Yeah, so everybody else on this team stinks. Go stash Dwayne McBride if you're in a deep league.
Because Jordan Addison doesn't stink.
Oh, everybody else that we haven't talked about. We talked about Jefferson, Addison, and Hockenson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Osborne is not great.
No, he dropped two very easy catches.
Did catch a touchdown, though.
So did... damn, only good players got touchdowns in this game.
Got him.
Got him! All right.
They painted him into a corner.
Yeah, also, Kirk Cousins went full Kirko. 364 and 4. Most of it when the game was already handled.
Doesn't matter. Still counts.
Still counts. So congratulations. Primetime Kirk Cousins is over. He's good in primetime now, folks.
He's good in primetime when it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's Kirko mode. And so the dumbest thing we're going to hear all year long, because newsflash, the Vikings were bad and very lucky last year, and now they're going to be bad and very unlucky because it's going to even out, is they mentioned more than once the Colts game where the Vikings came back. Like, well, the Vikings came back from down by, what were they down, like 28 points or 30 points?
33, maybe.
Yeah, and they're like, well, maybe they could do it again. It's like, yeah, maybe they could repeat one of the most singularly insane football games of all time. That's what I'm going to bank on.
That's well, I think they're just trying to build drama.
Yeah, I know, because it was like, it was while the Eagles were crushing. So,
Yeah, we both got this one right, so good for us. Correct.
Let's move on. Let's talk about the first game on the Sunday slate, Packers-Falcons. Both teams are undefeated. Undefeated Desmond Ridder takes on undefeated Jordan Love in the new Peyton versus Brady. It's a 40.5-point over-under. Atlanta, 1.5-point favorites. Big list of injuries for this one. David Bakhtiari, left tackle for the Packers, questionable with a knee injury. Quay Walker is questionable with a concussion. That's a linebacker. Christian Watson is a true questionable, and Aaron Jones is also questionable, both with hamstring injuries. I think Aaron Jones plays. I'm not so sure about Christian Watson. And I'm not so sure with Christian Watson if it's something that even if he plays, that he is going to play the whole game because he's a speed guy with a hammy injury. For the Falcons, linebacker Troy Anderson is out with a concussion. Wide receiver, running back, punt returner, kick returner, head coach, GM Cordarrelle Patterson is expected back from his thigh injury that he missed week one with. And Walker, you want to know, is A.J. Dillon bad now? He was certainly bad week one against the Bears.
Yeah, he looked awful. And I'm going to be honest, I disagree. I don't think Aaron Jones is going to play. He didn't practice at all.
Yeah, it's fine.
No big deal. Doesn't matter. If he plays, he's going to be pretty severely limited. So this is a great test to see if A.J. Dillon is actually bad or if he's, you know, just had a bad week. Because if he gets like most of the workload and goes like 18 carries for 35 yards and 3 catches for 6 yards, then I think, yeah, he's pretty cooked. But I mean, we could easily see him, you know, bust a 60-yard touchdown run in this game too.
Yeah, I mean, there's debate about if Miles Sanders is good or just average. I am on the good side of it, and he was 18 for 72 and 4 for 26 last week. So if A.J. Dillon really struggles against this team, which I'm starting to subscribe to the Heath Cummings model of there's like 5 teams whose defenses you attack and like 5 teams whose defenses you avoid, and everybody else is just kind of in the middle. I think they're probably going to be just in the middle, so we can really see what A.J. Dillon, who he is in this one.
Yeah.
For the rest of the Packers, if Christian Watson doesn't play, are you going to start Romeo Doubs or Dubs or Dubes or?
No.
Yeah, he had 2 touchdowns last week. He also had 26 receiving yards.
Right. I'm not
banking on that. I'm not banking on the touchdowns there. If Aaron Jones plays, I would say he's a must start. I'm seeing a lot of hype for this Luke Musgrave kid. How are you feeling about this Luke Musgrave kid?
Well, he had 3 catches last week. That sounds like about what he'll have like most weeks.
Yeah. And, Falcons did let Hayden Hurst, go off against them. So I would say he's as good of a blob tight end as any right now.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't play him, but if you want to, I'm not going to stop you.
Yeah. I think it's a good matchup. And, you know, I think with blob guys, that's what you're looking for. And I think he's a blob guy. So, Jordan Love. Is he good now? I would not start him except for a 2 quarterback league.
Correct.
Yes. All right. So my question is, when will Arthur Smith stop being a little jerk about this? This being fantasy football.
Never.
Never. And I'm concerned because, you know, it's not just like, you know, most coaches you hear, oh, yeah, we need to get such and such player the ball more, or I think it was it Eberflus who said, I don't want to live in a world where DJ Moore only gets 2 targets or something like that.
Yeah.
And they come out and they're like, yeah, our star player, like he didn't really get involved in this game. It was kind of just like, you know, game plan got away from us, got caught up in it. And Arthur Smith is like, you're goddamn right. We didn't throw him the ball and I'll do it again. And that's a problem if you invested in Kyle Pitts and Desmond Ridder. And, you know, I don't think this is a game where I am worried about the Falcons passing game because the Packers have a very good secondary. So I'm worried we're going to get another game where Kyle Pitts, Desmond Ridder don't really live up to expectations. So, Walker, I'm going to ask you this. Is Drake London anything more than a wide receiver 3 right now?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, he was like wide receiver like 20 because we figured if he got volume, he'd be like top 15. If he didn't get volume, he'd be somewhere between 25 and 30 and on any given week. And that's kind of where he is right now. And 25 to 30 would be an upgrade from last week where he had checks notes, not actually checking notes, but 0 catches for 0 yards.
Yeah, I don't foresee him getting 0 for 0 very often, but I don't love starting him this week. I mean, I have him outside my top 30 receivers.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question too about this passing game. So Kyle Pitts, knowing what you know now, and you can go back in time, you have Goddard and Pitts on your roster. Are you making the switch? Or are you going to take the 8 points from Dallas Goddard?
I think I'll just take the 8 points.
Ooh, that is so damning for Kyle Pitts, because 8 points is what we say is like a back end tight end one, like an okay week.
I mean, I have him ranked 12, so yeah.
Yeah, good God, that's rough. That is very rough. I
may or may not have Sam Laporta ranked ahead of him.
Let's go. Walker loves rookie tight ends.
I did not say that.
Where is Dalton Kincaid ranked?
20.
Yeah, that's right. Get Rex, Dalton Kincaid.
Right between Luke Musgrave and Adam Trautman.
Ooh, Adam Trautman, new tight end one for the Denver Broncos.
Whoop-dee-doo.
All right. You're not starting Desmond Ridder. Walker and I both have the ATLians coming out with the victory in this one. All right, next game, Raiders 1-0 take on the Bills, who are 0-1, 47-point over-under, Buffalo 8.5-point favorites. Chandler Jones for the Raiders will not be playing. It's personal. Personal is that he hates Josh McDaniels. Jimmy Garoppolo and Devontae Adams are both playing. They're off the injury report. Jacoby Myers is out for week two with a concussion. Buffalo has no injury notes. My question was going to be about Jacoby Myers, assuming health. Is he legit? And I'm actually leaving it there because I want to know if that game plan last week was the wide receiver two getting a lot of attention with Jimmy Garoppolo just more or less letting the defense take away Devontae Adams, or was that a Jacoby Myers thing? So if we see like Hunter Renfro get like 8 targets, then we know that that's the game plan, that whoever the wide receiver two there is going to get a bunch of targets.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an interesting question. I mean, I would come down more on the side of they were trying to get Devontae Adams the ball and he was just being locked up by the defense because that was their main focus. And so Jimmy quickly, you know, just switched it up and was like, well, I'll just throw a Jacoby a bunch.
From watching Jimmy Garoppolo for a half decade, I can tell you he does not quickly switch things up very often.
But I don't know. I don't think Hunter Renfro is going to get a bunch of targets suddenly. I could be wrong, you know, and I've been wrong before, but I wouldn't bet on that.
To be clear here, this question isn't like, ooh, can we go with Hunter Renfro? It is a litmus test to see if we can trust what Jacoby Myers did last week. And I think we can, and I think we're going to come away with, wow, player X got a lot more targets than we expected, and that will be in the future Jacoby Myers.
I think you're going to love what we see from Jacoby Myers.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, you're going to like the way you're going to like the way your points look. I guarantee it.
All right. For the Raiders, you're starting Jacobs. You're starting Devontae Adams. You're not starting any tight end on that roster. No. Jimmy G is a quarterback too.
Correct.
All right. Let's talk about the Bills.
Go Bills.
This is your question, Walker.
I know. Is there a startable player on Buffalo other than Allen and Diggs?
A player that I want to start? No. A player that I'm flexing? His name's James Cook.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I have Cook outside the top 20, but I am 25. I mean, I wouldn't recommend starting him, but if you're backed into that corner, he'll probably on volume get like 9 or 10 points.
Yeah.
It's just going to be ugly every game because he's not going to get any goal line touches. He's not really very good. So I don't really see what the upside is here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a volume play. It's the same kind of argument as Miles Sanders. It's like he's all right, but he's also the only one that's going to touch the ball there. Like Damian Harris did some things. Old ass Lat Murray did some things, but James Cook had 16 touches last week. And if you're somebody who has Austin Eckler, who's looking like he's not going to play and can't get Josh Kelly, or you're an Aaron Jones manager and AJ Dillon can't go, you might get backed into a James Cook start. And I think just based off of pure volume, like as a desperation, you could do a lot worse. Like don't go out there and go like, YOLO, I'm going to go pick up this Antonio Gibson that somebody dropped and try to start him over James Cook. Like don't get twisted. Like he isn't okay low-end starter, he will not blank you.
Yep.
So that's what you're looking for out of James Cook. But other than that, I mean, Sorry to everybody who hyped up Dalton Kincaid, but he and Dawson Knox are essentially splitting that role. Like, they're not playing different roles. Like, their slot and inline and all that stuff, Data is very close. It's not like Dawson Knox is now playing solely inline. And they're also splitting the slot with Deontay Hardy and all that stuff. So, bad news for Dalton Kincaid heads. Although, because the universe hates us, he's going to go off for like 6 for 80 and a touchdown now because we called him out specifically.
No, I mean, we've been calling him out specifically for like weeks and he. So.
Yeah, that's true. So the universe loves us.
That's so true.
So true. I mean, that's right. I'm not allowed to say so true. But yeah, I think that's it. Like, everybody else is splitting roles too much. So, what are they? People on a diet at Thanksgiving splitting roles?
God damn it.
All right. Let's go to the next.
Split a roll, my ass. I will never split a roll.
That's right. And it goes straight to your ass.
That's true. Not
true,
actually.
All right. Next game up. Oh, we both pick Buffalo to win.
Yep.
Obviously. Next game up, Ravens 1-0, Bengals 0-1. This is in Cincinnati. So 46.5 point over under. Cincy 3-point home favorites. For the Ravens, Ronnie Stanley and Tyler Linderbaum are both out. Stanley with a knee injury, Linderbaum with an ankle. Mark Andrews has a quad injury and is trending towards playing. For the Bengals, nobody really played last week. They just kind of were running around out there. So the only injury is Chris Evans is questionable with a hamstring. So Walker, you have the question on everybody's mind. More and more people are asking this. You're hearing it more and more.
Yeah, is T. Higgins going to catch a pass?
Whew. So T. Higgins last week, he caught zero passes. And based on my calculations, that can only go up from here. So I'm going to say yes.
Well, that's not necessarily true. It could stay the same.
It will not.
I don't think so either. I would imagine that he catches. I'm gonna go with 6 passes in this game.
Whoa. So where are you starting T. Higgins? Is he a like wide receiver 15?
12.
Okay. Oh, so he's a wide receiver 1 for you.
Well, that's with
with Thursday night out.
Yeah, that's with Jefferson, Brown, and Smith taken out. So he was 15.
And Addison out, because Addison was 9.
No. T? Addison was like in the low 20s.
Aw, boo. All right. So you'll see. One day, you will rue the day that you continue to doubt Jordan Addison.
Well, how am I counting him? I said he was a good wide receiver.
You will rue the day, Walker.
Okay.
So, all right. On the other side of the let's keep talking about the Bengals. If you have a Bengal that you were going to start, I would still start him, other than Irv Smith. That dude is poop from a butt.
Why would you have been starting him in the first place?
Because I know people who are starting him in the first place.
We've been telling you for so long.
You're hearing it more and more. He stinks. He's so bad. He's so bad, folks. But your T. Higgins, your Ja'Marr Chase, your Joe Mixon, your Joe Burrow, just start them all up again. They were in a monsoon last week, so leave it be. Also, the Ravens, while a good defense, they did only take on C.J. Stroud in his first career game last week, so they haven't really been tested. And I don't know. I don't think they're going to have Humphrey in this one, Marlon Humphrey. So down a good defensive back. So for the Ravens, I want to know, how do the Ravens split up running back touches? Because it's Gus Edwards, it's Justice Hill. Now Melvin Gordon's activated off practice squad. The most Ravens thing for them to do is, it's like Melvin Gordon gets 12 carries for 38 yards, 3 catches for 9 yards. Justice Hill gets 6 carries for 12 yards and a touchdown. And then Gus Bus gets like 10 carries for 50 yards and no catches. That is the most Ravens thing way for them to do this.
I mean, to me, that seems like too many touches for the running backs.
Well, that's how the Ravens do it. Cause last week they just, it was like a ton of running back stuff. And then it was just Zay Flowers.
Yeah. But also, first off, most likely they'll have Mark Andrews back. He practiced in full today and
yeah.
He should play. they'll also likely not be ahead by as much the whole game this time, so it won't be just running out the clock.
Okay, so take that down by two touches or three touches per running back.
I still don't think Melvin Gordon's going to do anything. I would expect it's going to be like 50% Gus Edwards, 40% Justice Hill, 10% Melvin Gordon.
See, I think it's going to be like 40-40-20, but we don't know. Like, it's just going to be one of those stupid things where, yes, Melvin Gordon gets all those touches, but they're all on like one drive where he gets stuck on the field. They don't switch him out.
He gets stuck on the field. He can't leave. There's a force field.
Yeah, there's a force field. He's not allowed. He doesn't get to the scores table in time to check in to run the other running backs, so he gets stuck on the field.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious to see how the Ravens split up the running back touches, because I have a feeling that after this game, we're going to be saying, oh my God, I probably do not want to roster a Ravens running back. This is going to be too annoying to deal with. Because every time they haven't had J.K. Dobbins, that's what we've been saying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily recommend starting any of these guys.
Yeah. No, I would. Oh, absolutely not.
I mean, like, Gus Edwards, you could flex if you're desperate. But again, I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, it's you know, I think he's going to get, like I said, like 5 points. Maybe he'll catch a ball or two. They don't throw to the running backs either. So their ability to produce is very narrow. It's just through the running game, and they won't get any of those cheap catch points like a James Conner would. What's that?
I just said not so much.
Oh, and then Zay Flowers is good. Where do you have him ranked? I'm going to guess. I haven't looked at your ranks this week because we didn't do the ranking show, and I wanted to guess at all the players. Okay. Zay Flowers is wide receiver 23.
30.
Oh! Walker hates Zay Flowers, folks.
I mean, he seems like he's like at least above average, but I don't know. I don't foresee him getting 10 targets in a game where Mark Andrews is playing.
So other than Mark Andrews, though, where do the targets go? Because they're going to throw the ball like 30 times.
I mean, Odell's going to get like 4 or 5. Bateman's going to get like 5. Andrews is probably going to get like 10.
So you're at 20.
And then Flowers is going to get like 6. And then the running backs get 4.
Ah, see, that's where you're wrong. I don't know. I think that Zay Flowers, I think that he's
Isaiah likely 4 targets.
Yes. The week after everybody abandons him, he goes off for 4 for 60 and 2 touchdowns.
It'd be so fun.
And everybody will be like, see, this is why you have to get rid of the tight end slot. It's like, no. This is why you don't get over exuberant about tight ends.
True.
You keep the slot and you keep your wits about you. You're starting Mark Andrews. You're starting Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. You're not starting Bateman or Odell Beckham.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't do it, especially because we both have the Bengals winning this one. Also because they will be without 40% of their offensive line, and it's part of the good 40% of the offensive line.
Yeah, those are both good players.
Yeah, Ronnie Stanley and Tyler Linderbaum. Tyler Linderbaum, was he drafted last year or the year before?
I think it was last year.
Yeah, he was one of those, like, how do the Ravens keep getting away with this players?
Yep, for sure. Yeah. Like, it was just like, oh, yeah, of course he dropped to the Ravens.
Yeah, he's so good. And, oops, now the Ravens have him. All right, let's go on to the next game. Walker, you seen this? You heard about this? The undefeated Detroit Lions host the winless Seattle Seahawks. Boo, we hate them, folks. Oh, my God. I've been walking around saying that at work.
That was good stuff.
47 point over under Detroit, 4.5 point favorites. For the Seahawks, Jamal Adams will be out, as will both their tackles, Chuck Cross and Abe Lucas. I'm calling him Chuck now. They're both out for this game. Devon Witherspoon is off of the injury report, so he will be playing. For the Lions, left tackle Taylor Decker is unlikely. Decker didn't play in week one, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did? Okay. For some reason, I thought I saw that he didn't, like, that this was a repeat of week one. So, okay. So, here's something fun, Walker. Did you look at the snap counts for the Seattle Seahawks last week?
No.
All right. So, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Who had more touches between Zach Charbonnet and DJ Dallas?
Trick question. It was the same.
It is a trick question. They both had three touches, but DJ Dallas played 22% of snaps and Zach Charbonnet played 24% of snaps. Also, Zach Charbonnet is not very good compared to Kenneth Walker, and Kenneth Walker is a far better player. And Pete Carroll said, yes, I've been telling you folks this. It is Kenneth Walker's team. Kenneth Walker played half the snaps last week, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's also twice as much as the other two backs. So other than stashing him, because people took Zach Charbonnet thinking that they're going to play him, did people who drafted him waste a pick as long as Kenneth Walker is healthy?
Probably too early to say it's wasted, especially since he's a rookie. But yeah, I mean, you obviously can't play him for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, he after this week, I want to see if it was a wasted pick. I want to see if he gets like 30% or fewer of snaps. He's pure handcuff territory. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And Walker, was there a podcast saying to maybe not try to have a load bearing Zach Charbonnet on your roster? Because Kenneth Walker is a very good running back.
I have a feeling that you're going to say the Football Absurdity Podcast.
That is correct, Walker. The Oof. Football Absurdity Podcast said, don't do this to yourselves.
And you know, it seems like you get a lot of good advice from this
this Football Absurdity
podcast.
Yeah.
I almost said.
A lot of people on Twitter were saying yay, and I'm saying Charbonnet.
Yay, yeah, yeah.
All right, Seahawks, are you starting all three wide receivers?
No.
Who are you not starting, JSN?
Yeah, I wouldn't start JSN this week. I'm Brian Branch pilled.
Yeah, I'm starting Brian Branch and JSN. I'm playing both sides, no matter who.
So I always come out on top.
So I always come out on top. But actually, I lose because I'm getting one good game out of two players. Actually, the ideal situation is a lot of short JSN targets with Brian Burns either passes, defensed, or tackles.
Yeah, JSN gets like 7 catches for 45 yards, and Brian Branch has 8 tackles and a forced fumble.
Did I say Brian Burns?
Yes.
That would be very difficult for him to guard JSN in this game, considering he's on a completely different team.
Also, he does not do that.
Well, you don't know that. He could do that.
He could. I don't think he
did. But I agree. I think that this Seattle offense, we have to wait and see how things go, because last week was not encouraging at all. And the Lions have a very good defense. I don't know if you heard about this, but they beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and it wasn't really a shootout either.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Walker, you want to know about Josh Reynolds, a guy that I completely forgot existed after the big game in week one.
Yeah. Is he worth a flex while Jameson Williams is suspended?
He was what, 8 for 60, or was it 6 for 80?
4 for 80.
4 for 80. So neither, but kind of.
You had the yardage, right?
Yeah, 4 for 80. I would say that, the Seahawks defense, no Jamal Adams, Weatherspoon will be back. But I think they're not going to get a lot of pressure up front because they didn't last week. And I think that it's going to be a lot of Jared Goff just sitting back there doing his thing, which is like 15 to 20 yard passes and occasionally giving it to Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I would say, yes, Josh Reynolds is, I would say, 10 to 12 PPR points this week without a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, that's most likely what you're going to end up with, is like 3 or 4 catches for something around 50 yards. He's a desperation flex more than anything, because I don't think there's a great likelihood he scores a touchdown. He hasn't scored many with the Lions. And he's not going to be a focal point of the offense, but he's a guy that Goff likes to go to on third down. Again, in deeper leagues, he should be on your roster. In shallower leagues, you could probably ignore him.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. There was something that I wanted to mention with the Puka Nacua thing about how he may not play. At this point, if you are relying on a Josh Reynolds, you are already in trouble.
Yeah.
outside of like a 14 or 16 team league, because he is flex worthy, but you should have drafted a lot better than you did, because it's not like we faced a lot of season ending wide receiver injuries where all of a sudden we're struggling.
Right. I mean, you don't have one of Nico Collins, Rashid Shaheed, Cortland Sutton, Zay Jones to play.
Yeah, those are all guys that were down on the roster who can easily fill in more, sooner than Josh Reynolds can. So on the Lions, is Jared Goff a starter this week? Is he like 11th?
Yes.
Exactly 11th?
Yes.
Let's go! And then Sun God, you're starting. You said you're starting Sam Laporta, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have a better option, like, I mean, if you've got one of the better tight ends, then no. But if you punted tight end, then he's as good an option as any.
Okay. How do you feel about Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery this week? Are you starting them both? Because Dan Campbell said Jahmyr Gibbs should get a lot more should get more touches as the season progresses.
Yeah, I'm playing them both until further notice.
Yeah, I would too. I already can tell you right now, David Montgomery is going to be, he's a better football player, but he is going to be the 2023 version of Melvin Gordon, where whenever he's on the field, people are just going to be screaming, crying, throwing up that Jahmyr Gibbs is not the one on the field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to, yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs is going to finish the season with like 44% of snaps played, and everybody's going to just absolutely lose their mind about how stupid the Lions are, even though he is going to play all 17 games.
Yeah, while they go 11-6 or 12-5 and win the division.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, Dan Campbell, you're so stupid. Stupid like a fox. Stupid like Walker seeing the Lions play in the playoffs.
Hey, Lions win a playoff game this year. Book it.
Book it. I told you, you guys got the beam team. I passed the beam team mojo onto you, onto the Lions. So we both have Detroit winning this one.
So true. Right. Detroit. So,
that's right.
Detroit will win.
They will. This isn't a prediction. This is a
guarantee.
A guarantee. I guarantee it. You'll like the way this game turns out. I guarantee it. All right. Next game. Next 10 o'clock game.
Betting Lions money line minus 190.
Chargers and Titans. The battle of the 0-1s. 45.5-point over under. Chargers 3-point favorites. Austin Eckler is doubtful with an ankle injury. Joey Bosa is questionable with a hamstring injury. DeAndre Hopkins, this is news to me, game time decision and closer to sitting than starting, according to reports that I saw. Yeah, today on Roto-World. Tyjae Spears is off the injury report with a groin. Peter Skoronski, questionable with an illness. And should Tyjae Spears just do some pressure relief on his groin like Lane Johnson last night?
For sure. Seemed to work great for him.
Texting somebody at 3 a.m. to get some pressure relief on my groin.
You up?
Yeah, texting you up.
I need a pressure release for my groin.
Walker, you want to know, can Josh Kelly keep this up? And this was a pretty good game last week for Kelly, who finished with 16 carries, 91 yards, with no catches, though. He did score a touchdown, so that is interesting. Can he keep this up, Walker?
Yeah, 5.5 yards a carry. I'm going to go with no, because the Titans' run defense is good, and Josh Kelly is middling.
Or as the kids say, mid. Is mid short for middling?
Sure. Yes, definitely. As the youth correspondent on the podcast.
Youth correspondent Walker Kelly. But yeah, last week we saw the Titans bottle up Jamal Williams, who, you know, Jamal Williams isn't like this like otherworldly talent, but he's better than Josh Kelly, or at least at worst on par with Josh Kelly. And so there's a lot of people being like, you got to get Josh Kelly in your lineups this week. And to that I say, no, you don't. You don't have to get Josh Kelly in your lineups this week if Eckler doesn't play.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to get like 20 touches, but I doubt he'll be very efficient at all. I mean,
20 touches, 65 yards, and maybe a touchdown.
It could be. Yeah, floor around like 7 points, ceiling is, I mean, because he's probably not going to score multiple touchdowns.
Yeah.
So the ceiling is like 16. So, I mean, whoop-de-doo, he's in RB2.
Yeah. Last week we bitched and moaned about best ball brain. I'm a bitch and moan about DFS brain. People get super excited when a guy that's like very cheap in DFS is all of a sudden going to be playing a lot, and it kind of leaks into their redraft advice, and you shouldn't do that. Like, no. He's probably a good DFS play because of how cheap he's going to be. Because if he goes off, you can fit a lot of other guys in your lineup, but that's not how redraft works.
You don't have a salary. You can just put guys in there.
Yeah, you can just put whoever in. Like, if you have a better player, like, if, say, for example, you have, like, Miles Sanders and Jahmyr Gibbs, you can just start those two instead of Josh Kelly. You don't have to do this.
You absolutely could do that, and you should.
Yeah, and it's something you can do. It's really easy. And then, on the other side, other players for the Chargers. Start everybody else except for Gerald Everett. He's dead to me. Start Mike 1010 Williams. Start Keenan Allen. Start Justin Herbert. Real easy.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yep. All right. So Titans on the other side. If there's no DeAndre Hopkins, are we picking? Nobody wants to admit this, but you should pick up Nick Westbrook-Ikhina.
Wait a second.
You actually should. I picked up Nick Westbrook-Ikhina over Robert Woods.
Yeah, it turns out DeAndre Hopkins' mystery injury has made Nick Westbrook-Ikhina relevant again.
Yeah, Jeff making stupid jokes on Twitter, somehow prescient about my stupid Travis Kelce thing, and now Nick Westbrook-Ikhina.
They gave you the lathe.
They did.
But no, I mean, if Hopkins is out, you're playing Henry.
End of sentence. End of sentence.
You can play Treylon Burks. End of sentence.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. But the Titans looked so bad last week against the Saints. Like, it was just a mess from top to bottom, other than Derrick Henry.
Yeah, but they have an implied point total in this game of 21.
Two picks, or a pick, a fumble recovery touchdown, and a Derrick Henry touchdown.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily shock me that much. That would be a very Chargers way to give up 21 points.
Yeah, and I mean, the Chargers last week, they got boat raced. I mean, I guess, Durham Smythe was good last week, and Durham Smythe sucks, so I guess it could be a big game for Chigakonkwo.
I wouldn't bet on it.
I mean, I'm trying to think of what happened last week that could be applied to this week with the Miami game, but it's literally nothing because Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are better than any two players on the Titans combined, or any two wide receivers on the Titans combined.
Yes.
And so and they're also like, you take their 40s and it's a bunch of slow dudes on the Titans, is what I'm trying to say.
You're going to end up with, like, Treylon Burks gets 9 targets and he catches 4 of them for 75 yards.
Oh, boy. I think it's just it's Derrick Henry, Chigakonkwo for the desperation touchdown, and go home. That's all. I mean, I guess Treylon Burks in a desperation wide receiver 3 situation.
Yeah, I mean, he was out there a ton week 1 and he's going to play probably 100% of snaps this week. So he's going to be constantly out there, and he's going to be the best wide receiver on the field for them. So they're not playing a very good defense either. There's not really a better time.
All right. Walker's start of the week, Treylon Burks.
Go read the start set article to see if that's true.
Oh, or Walker's ranks at the top of the website, footballsurrey.com. We both picked the Chargers to bounce back in this one, and I think this is going to be a year that the Titans, they panic.
They might not be very good.
Yeah, I'm divesting myself of my Tana pills because things are falling apart very quickly. So, all right, Bears and Bucks. Bears 0-1. Bucks behind Baker Mayfield. They're 1-0. They're undefeated. Walker, they're feeling good. They're going to run the table. 41-point over under Tampa Bay, 2.5-point favorites. And by run the table, I mean beat the Bears this week. For the Bears, Kyler Gordon went to IR. That's a cornerback for them with a hand injury. Chase Claypool could be inactive Sunday with an acute case of not giving two craps about the football game last week. Carlton Davis, Christian Izian, I don't know how to say this name, safety. Christian Izien.
I don't know who that is.
All right, some bum. And Carlton Davis and Kalijah Kancey are all questionable with various injuries. So looking like Kancey will play. Carlton Davis is up in the air, and we don't care about whoever this safety is. So last week, we saw Mike Evans. He had a really nice touchdown catch. He kind of performed despite Baker Mayfield, even though Baker Mayfield said that he figured out the hand signs for the Vikings defense, which is that good?
I mean, it's not really good for anyone because Baker still wasn't that good.
That was going to be my point, was that Baker, despite knowing exactly what the defense was doing, still threw for 173 yards.
Right. I mean, it's bad for the Vikings defense being so predictable, and it's also a bad reflection on Baker Mayfield's ability.
Yeah. So my question was going to be is, can Mike Evans and Chris Godwin carry Baker Mayfield? And by carry, I mean, like, they can be number two quarterback on the week. Because last week, Mike Evans, six for 66 on 10 targets. He's the devil. You're hearing it more and more, folks. He caught a touchdown. Chris Godwin, 5 for 51 on 6 targets. I mean, they can kind of carry Baker Mayfield to an okay day, but can they carry him to victory?
Not this week.
Yes, this week.
Let me ask. I don't know. I don't know why I'm picking the Bears in this game. It just seems like a game they would win.
Because you've been listening to Waleed and Tony.
No, I definitely not.
All right. So for the Bears, I'm sorry, for the Buccaneers, Baker is a low end quarterback too. Let me guess for you. Chris Godwin is wide receiver 27.
19
for Chris Godwin. Mike Evans is 15. Okay, so two top 20 this week. So where's Baker then in your ranks?
21.
So he's a back end quarterback too. Don't start Kate Otten. Rashad White sucks. Rashad yeah, White is running
defense.
Hold on, he's your running back 32.
22. I hate it. It sucks, but he's probably going to be fine this week because Chicago is really bad.
You'll never guess who I'm going to tell people to pick up in Sash.
Sean Tucker.
And I would like to say that I was saying it before. Everybody's saying it now. I'm saying it. I was saying it first.
I contest. Jeff was saying it first.
Give me my goddamn flowers.
Okay. Right. Okay, KJ, the fantasy tech.
Give him the... Oh, they say that on around the NFL.
Oh. No, I mean, trying to get people to say you were the first one to like a person.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, I forgot about that. Even though I just said it, I'm going to say it. Nobody cares. I was doing it as a bit. Nobody cares if you were first. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you came around on somebody in May or if you came on somebody around on somebody. Excuse me, came on somebody.
Wait.
Hold on. Time out. If you came around on somebody in early May, if you came around on them in late July, guess what? It doesn't matter because draft season's in August. What do you do? Nobody cares.
Yeah, my long-held opinion is better than your shortly-held opinion, even though we have the same shares. Right, like even though months. We have the same amount of shares of this player.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Walker, can Justin Fields be less bad?
That's a great question, and the answer is maybe. I mean, he's certainly good at running, and he's shown that he can throw nice passes, but it doesn't really seem like he's ever able to put it all together, and week one certainly was not a good sign. It can't get a whole lot worse than week one, so I think he'll play a little bit better in this game, but I don't think this is going to be a super high-scoring game. I could see a lot of turnovers from both teams, honestly. I think the between the 20s production is probably going to be pretty decent, but I don't know. I feel like it's going to be like each team turns the ball over twice and kicks a few field goals, and one team ends up winning like 20-16.
Ooh, I was going to say 20-15, so that'll work. That'll play, Walker. That'll play. I think the problem with Justin Fields is that they're like, all right, Justin Fields needs a better wide receiver core. And they're like, all right, we got DJ Moore. Everything is fixed.
Yeah, we traded for a guy who doesn't try, and we traded for a different guy who does try. Now go be good.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. Like, Like, they invested the number 32 pick in Chase Claypool, and he is probably going to be in a healthy scratch this weekend, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they didn't try. It's just that they're very bad at this.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I would still play Fields this week.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he can rush for 100 yards.
Yeah, 100 touchdowns for sure.
100 touchdowns.
And I think DJ Moore, you're probably playing as well. I mean, I have him as a low-end wide receiver too, so you're playing him. You can play Cole Kmet too, I think. Again, I'm not saying you're going to get a great game out of him, but he's fine.
Yeah.
Khalil Herbert is a flex, and that's it.
Cole Kmet or Sam Laporta?
Kmet.
Cole Kmet or... Well, let me ask you this. Is he inside your top 12?
Yes.
Okay, so Cole Kmet or Hate Crime Higby?
Kmet.
Cole Kmet or... I knew that one was cheating because I read your article.
Yeah.
So I know about Hate Crime Higby. Cole Kmet or Kyle Pitts?
Kmet.
Ooh! Go pick up Kmet. Play him over Kyle Pitts. You heard it here first, folks.
That's right. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin Fields is... If you have him, you're starting him.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Moore is wide receiver 31.
23.
Damn. I'm all discombobulated
You think I have everybody ranked way lower than I do.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to figure out where everybody's... If everybody's way higher, then who's ranked low?
Well, remember, I took like 6 players out of my wide receiver.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot this is after...
I just told you this like 10 minutes ago.
I know. That's hence why I said I forgot. Oh, man. Okay, so I'm going to go with wide receiver 23.
Shut up.
I got the Buccaneers winning this one. Walker, who do you have?
Bears.
Da Bears. All right. Chiefs and Jags. Chiefs 0-1. Jags 1-0. 51 point over under. KC 3.5 point favorites. This will be the most fun game this weekend, I believe.
It certainly could be. It's up there.
Seahawks Lions has a chance if the Seahawks get their offense together.
Mm-hmm.
That one could be fun, but this is probably going to be the most fun game because it's a whole lot of stinkers this weekend, folks.
Yep.
For this one, CEH has an illness. He's got the bubble guts. He didn't practice on Friday, but he should play on Sunday. Tight end Travis Kelce is back. And Walker, is this a safe space?
Yeah.
I'm tired of Travis Kelce.
You're tired of him faking knee injuries and twerking in practice?
I'm tired of all of a sudden... The NFL is the Kelce Brothers Industrial Complex. I don't know when this happened, but they're like, they are the two guys that are everywhere in the NFL now, and I'm tired of it.
Well, the good thing is that Jason's going to retire in like a year, so then you won't have to deal with Travis.
Yeah, that certainly worked for Pat McAfee. We don't see him anymore.
Well, we see him a lot more now than when he was in the NFL because...
Well, except for that year the Colts were bad. Bam! Got him. Woo!
Fair enough. No, I mean, I don't know. It's... I get it. He can be grating when you're exposed to him too much.
I've grown weary. I've grown weary. And you know why I say this? Because I say, come at us, Swifties. Let's go. You hear about this? You see this? You hear about this? Apparently, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift might be a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Come on, Swifties.
I don't. Yeah. Okay.
My sister's one of you. I know all your secrets. I know all your weaknesses. All right. Also, right guard Brandon Scherff for the Jags won't be playing or is questionable with an ankle injury. Walker, let's talk about some wide receivers in Jacksonville, eh?
Yeah. Is a Christian Kirk rebound imminent?
Not without a big change in usage. Like a massive change in usage. I was looking at the snap splits last night, and I tweeted this out, but Travis Etienne ran more routes out wide than Christian Kirk did last week.
Jeff
Weiss, is that bad?
It is bad for Christian Kirk.
Yeah, that's really bad for...
It's good for Travis Etienne.
Yes, it's good for Travis Etienne. It's good for Zay Jones. But it's a situation where Christian Kirk ran 90% of his routes out of the slot and only played like 45% of passing downs last week, which means he was a true
I thought he slot played 61% receiver. Of snaps.
45% of passing downs. Yeah. So like he was in there on like blocking and stuff. Mm. So that's not good for Christian Kirk. But that having been said, I went into the lab after we talked on Tuesday. He is better than Zay Jones. You are correct. I do have Zay Jones. Zay Jones is under rostered, I believe, but I think that a Christian Kirk rebound is evident because Chiefs pass defense is doo-doo.
It's not great.
Yeah, they'll have Chris Jones back, but I think that – well, let me ask you this, Walker. What would constitute – I don't know where my accent went there for a second. What would constitute – A Christian Kirk rebound.
10 fantasy points or more.
Okay. Okay. 5 for 50.
Yeah.
Sure. Christian Kirk rebound eminent. He's wide receiver 26.
28.
Oh, see, now that I remember the six guys are out, I'm a lot closer.
Yeah, you're getting there.
All right. So who do you have him over? Who would you start him over? That's kind of surprising.
Zay Flowers.
Okay.
Puka Nacua.
Oh, Puka Nacua. I think that's a smart move.
Jahan Dotson.
Yeah. I'm kind of worried about the Commanders. We'll get to that in a second. But yeah, so all right, I can see that for Christian Kirk. So if you started him last week, take the mulligan and start him again this week.
Yep.
Okay. You're starting ETN. Don't start. Take Badsby. Start Trevor Lawrence.
Warrants.
I almost said Trevor Walker, which isn't a person. It's almost Trayvon Walker.
Hmm. interesting.
And then you start this Calvin Ridley fellow. You seen this? You heard about this?
I think you should start him. Yes.
And Zay Jones is your wide receiver. You don't like Zay Jones, so I would say 38.
46.
Woo! Okay. All of a sudden, is this a new Daryl the Barrel situation where after a year of me saying he's not good, then I come around on him and you're like, he stinks. He's terrible.
I was telling you that Zay Jones was actually pretty good and you were like, no. And then now you think Zay Jones is good suddenly and I'm like, eh, not really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's another Daryl the Barrel situation.
Yeah, I mean, Zay Jones is better than Darrell Williams, I'll say.
All right, that's fair enough. Okay, for the Chiefs.
Start Evan Engram.
Oh, yeah, start Evan Engram. Ran the third most routes on the team, if I remember correctly off the top of my head. That would make the most sense. So for the Chiefs, are you starting Patrick Mahomes, yes?
I would do that.
Okay, he's a top three quarterback for you, correct?
Yeah, he's number two.
Oh, okay. What about this Travis Kelce fellow? You starting him?
Yeah, tight end one.
Are you starting any of the running backs?
No.
I didn't like what I saw with the touch split last week. I want to wait and see.
It was real bad.
It was real bad and real dumb. What about the wide receivers on the Chiefs?
No.
Correct. But I love Rashee Rice. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, fair enough.
You seen this? You heard about this? Rashee Rice, folks.
Death point for the record of saying, you seen this, you heard about this the most times ever in one podcast
episode. I don't know why I'm leaning on that, but when you listen back, please let me know how many times I said, you seen this, you heard about this. So Rashee Rice, I would not start him yet. But if you have to, I wouldn't be too upset with you. My only concern is he did play a limited number of snaps week one. And so my concern is that he's going to do that again. I have him on my bench in a lot of teams, a lot of deep teams, and that's where he's going to stay. So just keep an eye on him. All right.
Chiefs win.
Yep. And I agree. So let's go on to the next game. Walker, you seen this? You heard about it?
Oh, God.
All right. That's the last time. Colts and Texans, the battle of the 0-1s, 39.5-point over-under, Houston 1-point favorites. Zach Moss is going to be the starting running back for the Indianapolis Colts. So things are going great.
Hmm.
Quentin Nelson is questionable with the toe injury. Anthony Richardson is off the injury report. And so is Evan Hull, because he went on IR, so he's off the injury report. For the Texans, Laremy Tunsil is trending towards not playing. CJ Stroud was added to the injury report on Friday with the shoulder injury. So it could be Davis Mills time.
Davis Mills, baby.
Davis Mills, baby. Let's go. John Metchie and Dalton Schultz are off the injury report with a hammy and thigh, respectively. And safety Jimmy Ward is not expected to play with a hip injury. My question is, so last week we saw three guys get a ton of targets. We saw Michael Pittman get, I believe, 9 targets. You saw Nico Collins get 11 targets. You saw Robert Woods get 10 targets. My question is do the rookies in this game, because this is the first rookie on rookie crime this year, Stroud versus Anthony Richardson, the number 2 versus number 4 pick. Honestly, the first pick that was not made by the Texans after pick 1, because they picked 2 and 3. So
true.
So Richardson versus Stroud, do they continue hyper targeting the same guys? I say yes.
Richardson, yes. Stroud, kind of.
You think Schultz gets more involved?
Not really. I think Robert Woods won't get 10 targets a game. I think Woods's target share will go down more into like the 17-18% instead of like almost 25.
Yeah, I do think for the tech, I think in film study this week, the Texans were like, all right, we get you like Robert Woods. We have this Dalton Schultz guy, and we also have this John Metchie guy who can also get targets. Please give them more targets.
I think I'm pretty much fully out on Dalton Schultz in Houston. He's not that good.
You think he was a product of the Kellen Moore offense in Dallas? I think he was
mostly a product of Dak Prescott.
Okay. I mean, that's fair.
Dak loves to target the tight end. And I'm not saying Schultz is bad. He's certainly not bad, but he's average, I think. And in an offense that's not going to be very good, that he's going to be a mid blob.
Yeah. This is why you get 2 blob guys in the draft if you're going to go blob. Because if you got Dalton Schultz and...
Yeah, definitely get 2 guys, just like we said. Just like Jeff said, get Dalton Schultz and Chigakonkwo, and you'll be great.
All right, Walker's going to be muted for the rest of the episode.
Jeff's going solo.
I'm going solo. You're going to hear all about how much Damian Pierce sucks. Oh, good news. You're going to hear that anyways. Walker, what's your question for this game?
Does Damian Pierce play more than 50% of snaps?
Barely.
Yeah, I agree.
It's going to be like 56% of snaps.
I was going to say 52, so it's going to be 54.
54. All right, we'll meet in the middle. Folks, he's real bad. This Damian Pierce fella. He's real league average.
He's real fine.
Yeah, he's real okay. He's real capable of handling a bunch. Oh, you know what he is? He is running back CJ Beathard. He can handle a bunch of touches.
He's better than that.
I don't know. I really don't like.
Last week you said CJ Beathard sucked. Always sucked.
Yes.
Damian Pierce does not suck. He's just not that good either.
Okay, he is. Let me think. He is late career D'Angelo Williams.
Sure, that's fine.
Yes. I'm doing Walker comps here, folks.
Let me figure out a Walker comp for him. You can say something. I'll figure it out.
Something. Damian Pierce played less than 50% of snaps last week. We talked about it all offseason. We talked about it before last week's game and after last week's game, that the reason that he was so valuable for fantasy was that he touched the ball a ton. And if he's going to play fewer than 50% of snaps, that volume is going to go away. And he's going to slip right back into these interchangeable guys without a lot of upside. Kind of like your Michael Carter on the Jets a couple of years ago.
Well, wasn't last year his rookie? No, it wasn't. No, this is his third year.
Yeah.
Never mind. My Walker comp is Lendale White.
Jesus, there it is. Lendale White. Oh man, just a lot of touches. A lot of touches.
Love that 3.7 yards a carry.
See, I had another one of a guy who just got a lot of touches, but he got a ton of targets, and also he was really good. Except for at the end, he was not very good, but still got a lot of targets, and it was Matt Forte, folks.
Oh, he was fantastic.
He was so good right up until the end. Or as his nickname was on the Something Awful forums, Fancy F, because that's the Forte in music nomenclature, is the Fancy F. Alrighty. Are you starting any Houston Texans?
I wouldn't be excited to do that.
I think it's hard to get away from Nico Collins, given his target volume last week.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver three.
Yeah, he's like the perfect like wide receiver three if you have like a solid guy and then just like a really volatile guy like Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf, not to pick two guys from the same offense. And then he's just going to slide in there with like 7 for 60. And you're like, okay, I'll take those 13 points.
I mean, that seems optimistic to me, but sure.
All right. We both have the Colts winning this game because the Texans are real bad, and it could be Davis Mills season.
Ugh.
No, oh, forgot to ask. Anthony Richardson. Quarterback 13.
Eight.
Okay. So what I was thinking was that he was like 15 for you before those two guys played. So he was like 9 for you before last night.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So you're, he's a solid start. You're going back there. Yeah. He was real good last week from a fantasy perspective. Still has the target stuff to work out where he's off target a lot, but, that's a rounding, resounding, endorsement for Anthony Richardson. All right. So let's move on to the afternoon games, Niners Rams, and I'll get it out of the way right now. Same old sorry ass Rams. Niners win in a blowout. Both teams are 1-0 right now. Injuries for this one. Niners Samuel Womack went on IR, which is crazy because it happened an injury that happened in practice because they left the game without any injuries last week. So a dude went on IR from practice. For the Rams, wide receiver Puka Nacua is questionable but expected to play with an oblique injury. And Walker, what is your question for this one?
Well, I had trouble coming up with a Niners question because the offense is so straightforward.
Yeah.
So I just said, will George Kittle score a touchdown?
Probably not.
I'm going to say yes.
Because when they're around the goal line, it seems like it's a Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel season.
I just have a vision of him like getting a crossing route from like the 30-yard line and breaking one tackle and then there's just no one there.
Oh, it's a deep touchdown.
Yeah, I like he catches like a 12-yard pass, shrugs off Russ Yeast, and then like walks into the end zone.
Russ Yeast? That's a guy. That's a football player.
Yeah, he's one of the safeties for the Rams.
Good God, L.A., you used to be a proper franchise. What happened?
Well, they did win last week by a lot.
Against the Seahawks, also used to be a proper franchise.
They made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, last year.
They won a Super Bowl more recently than the 49ers.
But they got blown out by the Rams.
So did the Rams.
But they got blown out. But the Rams only played the Seahawks last week. You're not going to corner me in this. I hate both teams. They're both terrible. Go Niners. Anyways, my question, and it's really the only question worth asking on the Rams, because Matthew Stafford played great last week. Still not a guy you want to start this week. Not against
not this
Niners.
Week, no.
Cam Akers played terrible last week.
Yep.
You never want to start him.
No.
Hey, Grime Higby. I hope Fred Warner decleats you.
That's right.
Yeah. So the only question is the NFL leader in targets going into week two. Is it Puka Nacua season?
Kinda.
Puka Nacua is going to get smothered by this defensive backfield. They're going to put Mooney Ward on him and just... There's nobody else to worry about.
I feel like it's going to be like 8 targets, 4 catches, 35 yards.
Yeah, that's and so it's not Puka Nacua season. So everybody on Twitter who is like, I was in on Puka Nacua and nobody else was, which by the way, that's not how this works. Everybody is talking about how they're the only guy in on
Puka
Nacua.
It's crazy how it's just like the thing where like an epic sports moment happens and then like 100,000 people claim they were there.
Yeah.
The capacity of the stadium is like 20,000.
Yeah, everybody was there for when Jordan hit the shot over Elo and it ruined Cleveland sports. That's what that's one of those moments that there's you're like that the math on this doesn't work out. Puka Nacua is going to get he's not going to have a good game this week. And if he does have a good game, guess what? They have a star wide receiver on their hands. Because because with the way that this wide receiver room is put together, it's what, him, Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell, which Tutu Atwell will have a decent game. Niners get burned by those speed guys all the time. And who's their wide receiver for this week?
DeMarcus Robinson, probably.
Ugh, gross. Like, he's the only guy worth worrying about. So if the Niners focus on him, the Niners defense, if they focus on him and he still balls out, well, then guess what? Congratulations. You have a star on your hands.
Yeah, you found the next Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, congratulations. So, are you starting Puka Nacua?
Probably not.
Yeah. At this point, if you drafted Puka Nacua, you drafted to stash Puka Nacua. And the fact that he went off in week one does not mean that you should rush to get him into your lineups. He's hurt, and he's playing the 49ers.
No, I would be trading Puka Nacua for, I don't know, Jerry Jeudy.
I have Puka Nacua in my Dynasty League. I have two offers out right now. It's Puka Nacua and a second for Jordan Addison. Which before last night's game, and then Puka Nacua for Rashee Rice and a second.
Wow.
And I'm trying to see what happens.
That would be incredible to get Rashee Rice and a second for a guy who was like barely drafted in Dynasty Leagues.
I know, but he got 15 targets.
Well, what are you gonna
do? I need to get Rashee Rice in my Dynasty League. Walker, I need it.
I know you do.
Karen O'Voice, they don't love you like I love you, Rashee Rice.
You need Rashee Rice on your dynasty team. Like, I need to know the gossip about the Bills.
That's right. That's it for this one. Niners win. We both agree.
Yeah.
Poof.
Go Rams.
You son of a bitch. next one. Giants Cardinals. Both teams are 0-1. 39.5-point over under. Giants 4.5-point favorites. That's the same noise I made. Walker, I'm going to make you a deal.
Yep.
Let's skip this one.
Let's run for really fast.
Okay. You're not starting either, or you can't start Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I have him at 12.
Okay. You shouldn't start Josh Dobbs at all whatsoever. He's like going to be quarterback 32 this week.
Yeah. Don't look at my Football is 30 to Experts League roster.
No, boy. Don't look at my Tesha Palooza 16-man roster where I have I traded a third-round pick for Josh Dobbs because I had no quarterbacks. So running backs in this game. You're obviously starting Saquon. James Conner, low-end running back too?
Yeah, I have him at 15.
Okay, so middling to high running.
Yeah, yeah. Mid running back too.
Okay, don't start a wide receiver in this game.
No.
Because last week we were iffy on Hollywood Brown, but we saw what a Josh Dobbs offense looks like. And it's like he spreads the ball around a lot, I think, because he's just a first read and go. Like, whoever's open gets the ball. And so, like Rondale Moore had, like, 5 targets or 6 targets last week. And Marquise Brown had 5 targets. But he had, 5 targets, 3 catches, 28 yards. Darren Waller, you're starting. He's going to play. This quad or this hamstring issue isn't going to be an issue. What about Zach Ertz? He had 10 targets last week.
No thanks.
Throw him in the blob.
He had, well, yeah, I have him at 17, but like he had, I don't care for it. I mean, he had less than 10 points on 10 targets.
Well, he did. I'm going to do the annoying thing. He did drop a touchdown pass.
Oh my God. Go away. I don't care.
I told you it was going to be the annoying thing, Walker. You have him at 17. Who's ahead of him in the blob? Like, let's do like 16 through 13.
Gerald Everett, Juwan Johnson, David Njoku, Hayden Hurst.
I agree with all of those. Okay, so he is 17. That sounds fine to me. I have, am I going to do it? Yeah, they almost beat the Commanders last week. Give me the Cardinals winning this one.
Well, the Giants are pretty significantly better than the Commanders, in my opinion. So give me the Giants.
Well, let me ask you this question. Which one of these teams got absolutely boat raced last week? The Commanders or the Giants?
Doesn't matter.
All right, fine. This is me giving Walker some of the dubs back from last week.
Walker is
standing up and stretching.
My butt hurts.
All right. We only have a handful more games. Let's go. Jets-Cowboys. Jets are 1-0. Cowboys are 1-0. 38.5 point over under. Dallas, 9-point favorites. I'm sure this is what they were looking for when they made this the game of the week. Breece Hall has a knee injury, but will play. Or he's questionable with his knee issue. It's not a new injury, but will play. Legatron could miss week two. Brandon Cooks has a sprained ACL. And this is the most Jerry Jones thing ever. Report came out on Wednesday that said Brandon Cooks has a sprained ACL, and it's a multiple week injury. A report came out yesterday that Jerry Jones said that he has a game time decision. He's not playing. That's the most Jerry Jones thing I've ever heard.
Like, oh yeah. Oh no. He might play.
Yeah, he might play. We'll see. We'll see how he feels in warmups.
Yeah, he's gonna test it in warmups for like 2 minutes and then be like, yeah, that ain't happening.
That ain't happening. So, Walker.
Can the Jets player survive Zach Wilson?
No. Garrett Wilson is like wide receiver. Well, after those guys are out, I'll say wide receiver 18.
21.
Okay. It's bad.
I like Breece Hall still.
Yeah, he is gonna be. He is 7 for you.
12.
Okay. So, but nobody else on the Jets.
Nope.
And you could cut everybody else on the Jets.
Yep.
So that's it. That's going to be our Jets report every week.
Yeah. Play Breece Hall, probably play Garrett Wilson and ignore otherwise.
That's right. All right. Cowboys. I just want to mulligan on trash talking Shoddy. Cause last week was not indicative of the offense. He stinks. He stinks out loud. I think that this is going to be an ugly game. I think that the Jets actually cover because they have a really good defense and Shoddy has a bad offense. I do think that Dallas wins, but I think the Jets cover. I think this is going to be a closer game. Is this
the lowest over-under of the week?
Barely. So the game below, it's 39, and there's a couple 39.5s. Oh, there's a lot of sub-40s this week.
Brown-Steelers is tied with Jets-Cowboys for lowest.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, it's like this game, five out of the last six games we talk about in this episode, including this one and the one before it, have an over-under under 40.
Yeah, so if it seems like we're rushing through the end of the episode, we are, because we don't want to talk about these games very much.
Speaking of which, Commies at Broncos.
Yeah,
Dallas wins. Commanders 1-0, Broncos 0-1, 39-point over-under, Denver 3.5-point favorites. For the Commanders, Curtis Samuel and Chase Young are going to play. For the Broncos, Greg Dulcich will not be playing. Jerry Jeudy will be playing, and Frank Clark will not be playing. My question for this one is Samaje Perine going to anger Javonte Williams' heads? Is he going to split touches with him going forward? Because last week he had 8 rush attempts and 4 receptions, 12 touches.
Hey Jeff, would you like to guess where I have both Williams and Perine ranked?
Do I have the first digit correct?
Yes.
Okay. 26 and 27.
27 and 28.
Yes! I'll take it. But P. Ryan played 45% of snaps last week.
Yes, he will continue to anger Javonte Williams' heads.
Well, let me ask you a question, Walker. Was there a podcast that said all offseason this was going to happen?
I think that was the Football Absurdity podcast.
Ah, very interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Samaje Perine, he's good. He's Javonte Williams has always been a part-time back. He's good enough.
Yeah, that's there we go.
Yeah, he had 78 yards last week on 12 touches.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. And that was against the Raiders. This week, I think Commanders have a better defense than the Raiders, so I wouldn't want to start Samaje Perine. I think that he's a decent flex play.
Yep.
PPR flex, and this is what we talk about, folks. P. Ryan per reception. Episode title. P. Ryan per reception. All right. Walker.
Yeah, clicking over now. Sorry, I was looking at my rankings.
I was saying Walker.
What?
I thought I was going to be the one being annoying about this guy this year.
Oh. Oh, I'm not going to be annoying about him. I'm just asking the question. Is Logan Thomas actually a decent tight end option?
No. He had, four targets last week, but he caught all 4 for 48 yards?
Something like that. Yeah. I have him at 18 this week.
Just outside the blob.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, just outside the blob. guy to keep an eye on, though, when bye weeks come around, if he's still healthy.
Sure.
Because he is going to get, like, the tight end has a role in this offense.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry to hear about John Bates.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. So in this game, you already said you're not starting Jahan Dotson, right?
That's right.
All right. Would you start either Commanders running back?
No.
Me neither. We already talked about the running backs on the Broncos. What about Russell Wilson?
No.
No, me neither. He's like, what, 16 for you?
17.
Okay. Would you start Jerry Jeudy in this game?
Maybe. I mean, I have him at 24. So if you have two or three better options, then go for it. But I think fine as like a low end wide receiver too, high end wide.
Sorry, my internet was catching up there. Yeah. Sorry about that. Would you say McLaurin or Jeudy?
McLaurin.
Okay. Jeudy or, because, you know, this is his first game of the season. So Jeudy or Garrett Wilson?
Wilson.
Okay. Jeudy or, I'm just going to do one more. Jeudy or Amari Cooper?
Jeudy. No, okay. Amari Cooper. Sorry.
Amari Cooper. Okay, I was gonna say, wow, we gotta talk about that game because you're down on Amari Cooper. All right, that's it for this one. Two bad teams, folks.
I'm picking Denver.
Me too. Next game up, Sunday Night Football. Dolphins, Patriots. Dolphins 1-0. Patriots 0-1. 46.5-point over under. Miami 3-point favorites. Running back Raheem Mostert was removed from the injury report with his knee issue. Left tackle Teron Armstead is likely to go with. Basically, his whole body is injured, just like always. He has injury designation. Yeah. Actually, his arm's the only part of him that's not hurt. Back, ankle, and knee. It's literally his arms are the only things that are not hurt. Jalen Waddle has a oblique injury, but is good to go. The entire Patriots offensive line is questionable with various injuries, and they are trending towards not playing Walker.
Of course they
the
are.
The entire Patriots offensive line. Two dudes great with concussions. And Devontae Parker is questionable, but who cares? He's Devontae Parker. He stinks. All right. Yeah. So, Walker, let's talk about
Is it A-Chain season?
No. I don't know what happened to Von A-Chain. They're going to give Raheem Mostert 19 carries.
Yeah, they're going to keep running Raheem Mostert into the ground until he's dead, and then it'll be A-Chain season.
Yeah, and I don't like this idea that people are like, oh, well, what about Salvin Ahmed or Chris Brooks? Like,
Shut up.
Thank you. There's this idea that the depth chart is linear. It's not linear. It's Devon Achane is the direct backup to Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, whereas those guys have other roles. That's how it's put together. It's not a linear depth chart.
Right. Salvin Ahmed is going to get his two or three touches, regardless of who the starting running back is.
Exactly. So that's his role in the offense. I'm trying to think of a good example, but I am failing.
It was like what Giovanni Bernard's role was with the Brady Bucks.
Yes, that's perfect. Where if Fournette went down, well, when Fournette went down, that role didn't go to Gio Bernard, despite Gio Bernard playing more than Keyshawn Vaughn
right
beforehand. So that's the perfect example. All right. On the Dolphins, are we starting Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we starting anybody on this? So you're starting Mostert. He's probably what? Wide running back 17?
18.
Off of pure volume. Tua is quarterback 4?
10.
10. Okay. So
New England is a good defense.
That's true. New England is a much better or much worse matchup than the Chargers last week. But you're still starting him. You're still starting Waddle. And that's it. Don't get cute with Durham Smythe.
No, God, no.
And by that's it, I mean, that's it. Plus Ramondre Stevenson on the other side.
Yeah. I think, if you're desperate, you can start Kendrick Bourne in like a deeper league.
Oh yeah. I forgot Kendrick Bourne was good last week. I would say that.
Hunter Henry?
My answer was going to be Hunter Henry can't do it again.
I mean, I don't think he'll be tight end two again, but I have him as a start.
Okay, so you'll start Hunter Henry. I think Kendrick Bourne falls in the same category as like Puka Nacua and who else were we talking about? Nico Collins.
Yeah,
these guys where you're like, you can start them. Ideally, you're not yet. You're not starting them yet.
Yeah, sure.
He says with Nico Collins as his wide receiver two in his dynasty league. Oh, no, he's my wide receiver three. Never mind. I'm good. Woo! I forgot about JSN. Okay. Yeah. Woo! My one is Amon-Ra, so I'm good.
There we go.
I mean, this is going to be a game where it's going to be strength on strength. The Dolphins offense versus the Patriots defense. And I'm very curious to see which one wins out. Because this game could be this like 15-12 slugfest, or it could be like 40-17.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going with the Patriots. I just they're at home. They played well on defense last week. I don't think the Dolphins are as good as the Eagles. I don't think the Dolphins are nearly as good as they played last week. Mm-hmm. So I expect a little bit of regression there. Not that the Dolphins aren't better than the Patriots, but I have a feeling about New England this week.
I just worry about this. At best, we're looking at 40% of the offensive line missing the game. And yeah. I think it's going to be a lot of shorter fields for Tyreek and Tua and Waddle. And I think that, Tua kind of can take advantage of that. And I think that it's going to be a Miami sort of like, oh, these guys are for real sort of thing. That's what I think. So
I don't believe in them.
All right. You heard it here first. Walker hates Tua Tagovailoa and Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel seems like he's fine.
He's fine. All right. Let's move on to the next game. One of two Monday Night Football games. Stupid, because they're staggered. They're not even one then the other like it used to be. It's staggered. So one's going to start and then another one's going to start an hour later. Idiots, morons. I hate you, ESPN. All right, running back Kendre Miller was limited with a hammy injury, but is on track to make his NFL debut. Juwan Johnson was limited in practice this week with a calf injury, but is a full participant. For the Panthers, no J.C. Horn. He went on IR with a hamstring injury, as did offensive guard Brady Christensen. DJ Chark has a hamstring injury and was limited on Friday, but it's expected to make his season debut. My question for this one has to do with DJ Chark, which is, will his return damage Hurston Sanders against a pretty good Saints defense?
It'll damage Hurst more than Sanders, I would say. But
okay.
Yeah, it maybe takes like one target away from Sanders and like two away from Hurst, I would say.
So does Hurst move out of startable tight end range despite his big week one?
Yeah, I have him 16 this week.
Okay. So, oh yeah, we talked about that. He's in the back end of the blob. Ideally, you have other guys in the blob available.
Yeah, I mean, I would start one Panther.
Miles Sanders.
Yes, that's right.
Me too. Let's stop talking about the Panthers.
Cool.
I would start. How many Saints would you start?
Let's see. One, two.
What if I told you that I would start five?
What?
I would start Derek Carr. The Panthers' pass defense is terrible, especially with no J.C. Horn.
They looked pretty damn good last week. I know it was against the Falcons, but they look good.
It was the Falcons. The Falcons don't want to pass. Walker's just looking at me.
I have Derek at 13, so if you want to start, I'm fine.
All right. And then I would start Jamal Williams.
Yep.
I would start let me rephrase that. 4.5. Juwan Johnson's in the blob.
I would start super stud Chris Olave.
And then maybe a little Rashid Shaheed as a treat.
I think Rashid Shaheed is a speculative flex.
All right. And then Michael Thomas in a deeper league, not too far behind. Lots of targets. Still part of the passing game.
I have Shaheed at 38 and Thomas at 41.
Yeah. So.
Fine. Sure. Whatever.
I'm just saying.
Just saying. Guess where I have Chris Olave.
Six. Ooh, I was gonna say four. You heard me go, but I thought that was too high. Oh man. All right. Well, Walker. We already touched on this, but is Raheed Shaheed for real?
Raheed Shaheed.
That's right. His name's no longer Rashid.
Yes, I think so. I think he will have a pretty. I think he has a consistent role in this offense. Some, unfortunately, it's the deep threat role. So some weeks he'll have like 1 for 40, but a lot of weeks he will do what he did last week. He'll have, you know, 4 or 5 catches for over 50 yards. He's got a good chance of scoring touchdowns because he's getting a lot of air yards and Derek Carr trusts him down the field. So I mean, I have him in multiple leagues. I'm playing him in my home league this week. I think he's a good player.
Yeah, and then if you saw the NFL Films video of the sideline of Derek Carr.
I did.
Yeah, that made me think Rashid Shaheed's for real because Derek Carr was like, give me one more chance to throw to Rashid Shaheed. Give me another crack at this one. He's saying, I want to give it to him.
Yeah, give me a deep shot to Rashid and then cut to Jameis Winston. Yes.
Yeah. But Rashid Shaheed, definitely a guy I would start. Raheed Shaheed, though.
I don't know about that.
You can cut him in all your leagues.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really, roster.
I mean, you can't roster that guy.
Lady on the Plane voice. That mother.
Not even real.
Yeah. Forgot it was not a Patreon episode. Luckily, she stuttered, and so I could play it off. All right. We both have the Saints winning this one. I think that's it for that game. Not a lot to talk about, especially on the Panthers side. That passing game is going to be a nightmare.
It's not going to be good.
They did not set up. They traded for the number one pick and then did not set them up for success.
No, they don't really have any above average even receivers or tight ends.
Like, I would say
Hayden Hurst is average, I would say.
Yeah, I guess so. I think he's on the above average side of average, if that makes sense.
Nope.
Okay. So if you were to, like, if it was like a 1 to 7 scale, he would be like 3.75.
I don't know why. I was going to say, you could have just said 1 to 10 and then said like 5.5.
I went to 7. Okay. So here's what happened. I went to 7. And then I was like, well, I can't say 3.5 because that's exactly down the middle. And I was like, oh, shit, now I'm stuck with 3.75, I guess.
But why did you pick 7?
I don't know. I had a math professor in college who was a TA who would make up the equations on the fly and then go and get like halfway through it and go, oh, wait, this isn't going to work, and erase it. And that's what it just reminded me of.
There. Yeah.
Did it on the fly. I almost failed that class. All right.
Do it live.
F it, we'll do it live. Speaking of doing it live, Browns and Steelers. Browns are 1-0. Steelers are 0-1, 38.5 point over under. Cleveland 2.5 point favorites. We're both taking Pittsburgh.
Go Steelers, I guess.
Go Yinzers.
Go not nasty man.
You got rid go Steelers, you got rid of your nasty man.
Right.
Jack Conklin tore his ACL and MCL for the Browns. We talked about him. Cam Hayward will miss up to 8 weeks with a groin injury. Pat Freiermuth is set to play with his chest injury. Deontay Johnson has a hamstring injury and is set to miss, quote, multiple weeks. Or he's a game time decision, which is what I heard. But a game time decision for the second Monday Night Football game? No, thank you.
No.
I will not be starting him. All right, Walker, you have a question about Jaylen Warren.
Does he have standalone value?
I know we already did this comp, but a Gio Bernard on the Bucks type thing, maybe a little bit better than that, but I don't see him having a lot of value in this game, if that makes sense. I think it's going to be a real hideous game.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be between like RB 35 and 45 for me every week.
He's got the fabled oh my God, I'm totally blanking on him.
Dontrell Hilliard.
Dontrell Hilliard. Yes, we were on the same page. I was like, he was on the Titans last, but my brain kept telling me Dexter McCluster. And I was like, no, he's retired. He was on the Titans. That was the problem. He was a pass catching back on the Titans. That
was he even a running back? I don't even know what position he played.
He was like a Tavon Austin, like kind of like, hey, just a gadget guy out there. But he had running back classification on Yahoo.
Yeah, he was running back and wide receiver.
Yeah. So that's what my brain was telling me. My brain kept saying Dexter McCluster. So, I mean, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think he's going to catch more passes than people think. We're going to look up and it's going to be like, oh, Jalen Warren is running back 30 on the year because he played all season long and caught like 40 balls.
Yeah. Yeah. He's that guy who's going to finish. Yeah. Running back 31. And then everybody's going to draft him there next year, even though he'll finish better than that on the week, like three times all year.
Yeah, it's one of those like, oh, you're this good because you played all year long. You didn't actually play that well. So speaking of not playing that well, my question is about the Browns passing game. Was last week because of the weather? Because you had Deshaun Watson completing 16 of 29 passes last week for 154 yards. And then, of course, that trickled down to the passing game where can you guess who led the Browns in passing yardage last week?
In passing yardage, I'm gonna guess.
I mean receiving yardage. You are correct, by the way. It was Deshaun Watson.
Okay. Elijah Moore.
Yes, with 43 yards.
Not great.
Yeah, they had, and it wasn't like there was a lot of guys getting a lot of yards. They had two players with more than 25 yards last week: Elijah Moore and Amari Cooper. Not great, but I do think that that's gonna be because of the rain. I think David Njoku has a decent bounce back. I think Amari Cooper has a decent bounce back. I think Elijah Moore gets shunted off to the side a little bit. But I only think Deshaun Watson goes up to maybe 225 passing yards because they want to run the ball a ton. They ran the ball 33 times last week. And that's been in their DNA as long as Kevin Stefanski's been there.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't start Watson. I would start Nick Chubb. The only receiver I would start is Cooper. And I would probably try to avoid Njoku if I could.
Yeah. If you get Dalton Schultz, David Njoku, you're fine. Gerald Everett, David Njoku. We can just list all the blob guys that have been so far.
It was obvious. You should have just gotten Hunter Henry and Jake Ferguson.
No, what you should have done is the 4-H club.
Hunter Henry and
Hayden Hurst. 4-H, baby. So we both have the Steelers winning, even though last year teams coming off the week after playing the 49ers, I think I heard on Around the NFL, I think they were 1-12.
Yeah, but the Steelers barely played the 49ers last week.
That's very true. And we will leave it on that note. So Walker and I will be back on Tuesday to talk about all these episodes. And Mike will be back from Parts Unknown.
Woo!
We put Mike in a box and labeled it Abu Dhabi. And so he's currently being mailed to Abu Dhabi and then sitting in customs and being sent back. So him and Nirmal are chilling. So for Walker, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to listen to the Start or Sit show on YouTube starting at 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern, because that's how time zones work. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.